Good afternoon, and welcome to the Wednesday afternoon conference call with Trusts Unlimited. This is Jim George speaking. I'm the non-attorney spokesman and facilitator for Trusts Unlimited, and I'd like to thank all of you for taking the time to listen to this call, particularly those of you that are listening for the first time and those that will be listening to the replay over the next 24 to 48 hours. Now, for those of you that have been listening for some time, you know that there was a little bit of a censorship issue with YouTube and IQD calls. Evidently, telling the truth is a no-no these days. So we've had to circumvent that, but we ran into another problem. We finally decided to route all of our replays directly to our website, and an email went out this week giving everyone instruction how to listen to the replay. And unfortunately, someone had inadvertently put our email address rather than our website in the protocol. So I'm going to go ahead and give you this right now. Hopefully this can get disseminated to individuals, because the phone, my text, the emails are all blowing up saying, hey, we tried the protocol, we couldn't get through. And again, that's because they were using the email rather than the website address. So I'm going to give you the information to listen to replays. First, you will go to our website, which is Trusts with an S, unlimitedllc.com. That's Trusts with an S, unlimitedllc.com. You would then go to the box Learn More. You will then click Conference Calls, and then you can select the date or dates that you'd like to listen to. This is going to be a shorter call today, so I strongly suggest you listen to last week's call, 10:20, and that call, in addition to getting into some important information, has an overview of the turnkey program we put in place to assist you in a short Q&A. I'm unfortunately going to have to respond to a lot of individuals that want to listen to the replay, and there are other calls going on. There is a lot going on. It's funny because on the one hand, things seem to be quiet, but underneath, there's all kinds of activity going on, and I'll touch on a little bit of it here in this call. First, by way of disclaimer, Trusts Unlimited is not the purveyor of the dinar and these other currencies. We're not advocating either the sale or purchase of these currencies, but as rather substantial currency holders ourselves, we're sharing with you the information we think is most important. And, of course, the most important information would be a window for the potential reset of the dinar and some of these other currencies. We have kind of a large window here, and I'm going to explain why. In my opinion, the reinstitution of the dinar could literally happen at any time. In my opinion, all of the important boxes have all been checked, but for some extraneous issues that are involved, this could theoretically get pushed to January of 2022. I don't think that's going to happen, but I have to throw it out there as a possibility. One of the reasons I really think that the drop-dead time frame would be January of 2022 is because by that time, not only will the elections be over, but so will all of the carping from the sore losers who just cannot deal with having lost in the elections. We also know that the price of oil has gone up precipitously. We're right now at about $85 a barrel of Brent crude, and that number could easily go to $100 a barrel. So that being the case, Iraq could very easily amass a $100 billion monetary reserve, which is what's been lacking all along. They've had to borrow to continue to keep the government running. So not only will the borrowing cease, but they will actually have a substantial reserve. And the last issue, one that I'm not particularly happy about, is the and I hope this doesn't happen, and I don't think that it's a prerequisite for a reinstitution, but that is a digital currency. The powers that be are moving very, very quickly to a digital currency. I don't like digital currencies for a number of reasons. Maybe I'll get into that a little later in this call. But I don't think anything that the international agencies want to do is generally not good for us. And again, I'll get into that in a moment. Now, there are a few issues that could mitigate against the reinstitution that could happen now, although I don't think that that's going to play too big a part. First is the dwindling number of individuals who, for whatever reason, just do not want to see this reinstitution happen. It could be these criminals that are in office that are benefiting from the status quo. It could be individuals outside of the country that are benefiting from the status quo. The second issue, of course, is the reemergence of Maliki, and you knew this bad penny was going to show up at some point. He's working diligently to try to function or create a coalition block to unseat the Sadrists. The Sadrists, of course, are going to be the largest coalition block. I see no way that Maliki can overcome this group for a number of reasons, even though the vast majority of Iraqis are Shia, as is Maliki. Maliki's a radical Shia, and people remember that he ran the country in the ground, and he looked the other way while ISIS captured 20 to 25% of their country. So I don't think Maliki has a chance. I think the major reason that Maliki and his cronies are pushing forward is because they know that the individuals that lose in this election, and in my opinion, it looks to me as though Kazemi is going to remain prime minister for another 4 years. These individuals are going to lose their immunity. So they're not only going to be stepping down if they lose the election, but I think a lot of them will be leaving the country. And the last issue, and those of us that have been involved with these currencies for any length of time knows there's always seems to be some X factor that appears in the 11th hour to gum up the works. Although at this point, we're so far down the road, I've given it a lot of thought. I just can't think of anything literally short of a war that could stop what's coming, because now it's not just a matter of Iraq and the Iraqi people. A lot of other countries, whether their motives are nefarious or not, are very interested in the full emergence of Iraq so that they can contract with this country, knowing that the wealth that they possess will allow them to fulfill financially whatever contracts they consummate. One of them, of course, would be the recent contract that Iraq has formulated with Saudi Arabia for generate power. So that's huge. And, of course, Saudis are Sunni, so the fact that a country that's primarily Shia has now entered into a major contract with a country that's Sunni is a good indication that that hopefully peace is on the horizon in the Middle East. Now, there are some issues that do point to a reinstitution of the dinar prior to January of 2022, which is why I say it could happen at any time. First, as I mentioned before, it seems that Maliki is going to fail. He's not going to be able to create a coalition which would constitute a plurality in the parliament, and in a parliamentary system, that coalition would determine who the prime minister is. And add to that the fact that there are so many parties in Iraq and so many factions, and then they have the sectarian issues and the tribal issues, and then you bring the Kurds into it. It's an extremely complicated situation, and I just don't think Maliki is going to be able to thread the needle on that one. Second, as I mentioned before, it seems that the ex-government officials will have lost their immunity, so they're going to clear the boards with this group of individuals too. Then we have some of the activities with the CBI. There's a number of things going on, but one of the things that's been kind of quiet is that the CBI has removed all of the larger dinars from the ATM machines. Now, that would make absolutely no sense unless there was going to be a new exchange rate which would make the higher dinars obsolete. Then we have the international agencies which have declared that Iraqi banks are now functional. This makes no sense unless these agencies are anticipating the fact that they will be transacting and trading with the dinar. So all of these things are very, very good news. Now, ordinarily, I go into a full-blown call. Again, I would strongly suggest that those of you listening for the first time go to our call of last week, October 20th. We'll get into the program we've put in place to assist you. But I do want to touch on a couple of issues that are going to affect those of us that have trusts right now. We have always marketed our trust to dinarians and cited the specific advantages that an individual would have by establishing their trust prior to the appreciation of the dinar and these other currencies. But given the economic environment in this country, it makes sense for any American citizen who possesses any amount of wealth, large or small, and wants to protect it. It makes sense for them to establish these trusts, not only for the privacy and the asset protection, but right now the Democrats are squabbling, but getting closer to the passage of, I like to refer to it as their non-infrastructure bill, because it's been a catch-all for every Marxist wish list possible. And one of them is their assault of our privacy within the banking industry. They're talking about, of course, compelling the banks to divulge all kinds of information on and large to the IRS without reasonable suspicion, probable cause, or anything. Now, the advantage of having trusts is it's an extra layer of protection. It's a little different for banks to release information about trusts absent probable cause. I'm not saying that they will not comply with the IRS if these ridiculous statutes go into force. But I am saying that the banks are going to think long and hard about releasing information from trusts which are established to provide privacy, and that's a constitutional right. The other issue is also this. When the IRS receives information from a trust, a sophisticated trust, they know that there's going to be legal ramifications to their pursuing something as opposed to just a private citizen. And the IRS is known for going for the low-hanging fruit, despite the fact that they're trying to beef up what the IRS can do. They're trying to infuse it with another $80 billion to hire more individuals to audit trusts and things of that nature. Once again, auditing an individual, just an average middle-class individual who probably doesn't have the time or the money to afford a lawyer, and going after a very sophisticated trust are two different things. The other issue I want to touch on is the taxation of the trust. Now, as we've discussed on our call, pursuant to Section 643B of the IRS Code, the sale or exchange of a capital asset within an irrevocable trust is tax-deferred. Now, we stated also that despite the fact this is the clear language of the code, we still want the IRS to confirm that in writing with regard to the specific transaction of the exchange of these currencies once they revalue, and we have to wait for the reinstitution of the currency in country and for it to be a functional currency in order for the IRS and the Treasury Department to respond. Now, we're dealing with a group of people that don't have our best interests at heart at the present time. But there's another issue, and it's this. Embedded in this new non-infrastructure bill is the fact that despite the fact that we've been told that this isn't going to cost us anything, which is an absurdity, a bill with a public price tag of $3.5 trillion but an actual price tag of $5.5 trillion is certainly going to cost somebody. And one of the things that they've put into this bill is the taxation of unrealized capital gain. That means capital assets that you own, precious metals, real estate investment trusts, real estate, investment real estate, residential real estate, your own home. As these assets increase in value, and they're going to increase in value simply by inflation, we may have to pay an annual tax. So if your home is worth $285,000 this year and it's worth $300,000 on paper next year, the $15,000 increase in unrealized capital gain, according to the Democrats, should now be a taxable event. This is absurd. However, pursuant to Section 643B of the IRS Code, if that asset's within a trust package like ours, it should be tax-deferred, meaning they cannot tax it, even though the law says that outside of a trust, it's taxable. And lastly, the history of these trusts alone. These trusts are settled law. They go all the way back to the formation of Western jurisprudence. The Caesars of Rome utilized these trusts to protect their estates from the Senate. The royalty in Europe for two millennia have used these trusts to protect their wealth from incoming monarchies. And even the land grants in the United States 150 years before this country were created, the recipients of these grants utilized these trusts to protect their grants from escheating or returning back to the monarchy upon their death, and it remains with their family. So it goes beyond the life estate. So for all of these reasons, any American, whether you hold currencies or not, given the economic environment, the political environment we're in now, and the particular individuals that are writing the laws right now, need to establish these trusts to protect their privacy, to protect their wealth, to allow them to circumvent these absurd and ridiculous intrusions into our everyday lives. So that's the information I wanted to provide for today. Again, thanks so much for listening to the call. Please go to our call of October 20th for the full-blown call. We talk a little bit about Iraq. We talk about the turnkey program we've put in place to assist you, and there is a brief Q&A in there as well. Hopefully these things are going to occur sooner rather than later. I'm referring to the reinstitution of these currencies. If you contact us to establish a trust, and you'll get the instructions for that in our call of October 20th, once we have your application and your fee, you will have your trust within 5 working days. And even if the currency reinstitutes, as long as this trust is in force, meaning you've executed the documents prior to the revaluation globally, then you will enjoy all of the protections that you will learn about in the call of October 20th. So I hope you will listen to this call, contact us. I'm going to give you our replay information one more time for those of you that have may not had a pen and paper handy. You're going to go to our website, which is trusts with an S, unlimitedllc.com. You will then click Learn More. You will then click Conference Calls, and then you'll select the date or the dates that you wish to listen to. And for the last time, go to October 20th and listen to that call. I want to thank all of you for listening to the call. Every day we seem to be moving closer to our objective, and many of us have been doing this for over a decade. I certainly have. So if something of a dramatic nature were to happen between now and our scheduled call for next Wednesday, we will try to get out an emergency email and schedule an emergency conference call. But failing that, we will be back next Wednesday, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. Thanks so much for listening, everyone, and have a great week. Bye-bye.